Hey, there we go. Hello?
Hello.
I'm still here. We're all still here.
All right, so what were we talking about?
So I think we're still trying to decide what we want to do in terms of the special issue and the Korea conference. Although I think we're all okay with tabling the Korea conference for a little while.
Yeah.
Okay, so that still leaves the special issue on the table. Do we want to shoot for that by an abstract by next Friday? And then if we'll find out in December if our abstract is accepted. No, it looks like if our abstract is accepted, we would need the full paper by December. And then there's still a chance that the paper will get turned down. But it looks like abstract by September 1st. If the abstract is accepted, then full papers by December 1st. I think in order to write a good abstract, we would really need to decide what does our data have to tell us? We know that we didn't see overwhelming evidence for confirmation bias. So is the message of our paper, you know, hey, this is a good sign, because we talked about if we were seeing overwhelming evidence of confirmation bias on, you know, by statistics students on statistics exams, that would really kind of indicate that this bias was really pervasive. And really overwhelmed any other reasoning, which would have been a very bad case. So is our message that, hey, we don't find evidence of this worst-case scenario, or we need to go back and look and see, well, what do the data tell us? What can we get out of this data? And I think that if we want to shoot for this abstract and have a chance at it, then we need to know what that message is and make that message clear in the abstract.
I agree with you. I think it's kind of what Randy said. You know, maybe we found no evidence to support our hypothesis based on just the small amount of data that we already have, but he said that we'll be able to get a lot of other good stuff out of it.
Yeah. So the question is, do we have time in a week to figure out what that other stuff is? At least well enough to put the abstract together.
I think we can try. I mean, we need to do it anyway to write the paper to submit to JSC or one of the others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're going to have to do it. We might as well try to get it done. And if we get it done, we can submit the abstract. If not, it's not like it's going to go to waste. I mean, I don't start for 2 weeks, so I will definitely have some time this week.
I have already started, and I have 2 new preps this semester. So I'm actually very, very busy during the weeks, basically just trying to make sure I have stuff to teach in class. So my time will be limited. I can work on, you know, I can work on a project like this throughout the semester, but within a week I won't be able to dedicate a lot of concentrated time. It'll be more a little bit kind of every day. But I'm definitely still willing to give it a shot.
Well, and I guess maybe this is my question, and this could actually be a general question. When I see something that says that they want an abstract and they don't give me a word amount, how on earth long is this supposed to be?
What?
We might be able to go to the journal website to find that out. I can try and look that up real quick.
You know, what I think of as an abstract is a really short paragraph, and some people want actually, you know, more than something that's more longer than a page sometimes, and that's their idea of an abstract.
Yeah. I think for this, we're really going to have to sell the message of our research, especially since what I presented at the conference, because, I mean, the people that are evaluating this were people that saw our presentation at the conference. And initially what I presented at the conference was that we didn't you know, we didn't seem to have a lot of support for this theory. And so I think we need, since they know that, I think just giving them the kind of teaser abstract of, well, this is our research question and this is what we plan on doing and we're going to see what happens, I think giving them that teaser abstract won't work because they've seen some preliminary results. So I think we have to know what our message is and make sure we sell that message in the abstract in order to have a legitimate shot at this.
I agree with you, and I think we need to get the interview data done because I think the interview data showed conflicting results.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my initial impression based on what I heard from my students when they were sitting there with me in the informal setting. There was definitely confirmation bias.
Yeah, I saw that with mine, too.
Well, I think that's kind of what we said at the end of the JSM presentation, was that we weren't seeing evidence of it in the written test, but we were seeing more of it in sort of that informal interview setting. So maybe somewhere along there is our message that, you know, in a setting where they know that they're expected to give a statistical response, they are giving us a statistical response, but in a setting where not quite so obvious, they tend to rely more on, that's where the confirmation bias is coming out. Or it's not quite so obvious that a statistical sampling response is expected of them. Something along those lines.
Right. But we have such a small sample for interviews.
Well, and what we can say is that this semester is our interview semester.
So to do that, we're going to have to do the opinion survey again. Is it too late for you guys who already started to do the opinion survey?
I wouldn't think so, because if we do the interviews later in the semester anyway, I don't think they'll see the connection.
Yeah.
I haven't even started. So it's not a problem for me.
I don't start for 2 weeks, so it's not a problem for me either. What about you, Carla?
I think it would be okay. I would actually, I think I would do this in a different class this time because I'm teaching an intro class this semester that's got about 100 students in it, as opposed to trying to deal with the big intro class with like the 700 students in it that I didn't teach at all.
Right.
And we also were making a lot of other changes to that intro class this semester, and so I just think it would be too much there. So I would change courses and just do the course I'm teaching. And I think, again, I think it would be okay. I also know Jennifer Kaplan, when she, if I'm remembering her paper correctly, I think she got their opinion information right before their interview. So we wouldn't necessarily have to do, like, if someone felt that they couldn't do it right now, then we might be able to just get some before the interview.
Which paper was that?
That was her belief bias paper. I'm pretty sure she said, like, she got her opinion data from the students at the beginning of the interview.
Interesting.
And just to throw this out there, I did look up for the journal website for Educational Studies and Mathematics, the abstract is 150 to 250 words.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they were always around like 200, 300 words, like max.
Yeah. I still think even in that short amount of space, I know that there are abstracts that will give you, you know, one sentence introduction, one sentence methods, one section results, one sentence conclusions. Like, you know, they take that whole paper and just put it in a very brief summary in an abstract. And I think that's kind of what we need to do here in terms of selling our take-home message.
I mean, we're on a little shaky ground if we do this because technically we don't have all the interview results if we're going to do some of the interviews this semester, but...
Well, we can just say preliminary interviews showed this, and we're in the process of doing, you know, enlarging our sample size of students who are interviewed.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I think that's the best way to go. In terms of selling our results, as Perla puts it. Y'all still there?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, my phone, like, went really quiet all of a sudden, so. Out in the backwoods of Wisconsin here, so.
Yeah. How is your dad doing, Lee?
He's actually really good, given that he's, I mean, it's a terminal condition, and he actually stopped breathing last Sunday night, which is why I'm here. It's a lung deterioration thing. So, obviously, when he stopped breathing, we thought that was it. But he's getting better every day. He's more or less alert. I mean, like, he knows who all of us are and all that. Every now and then, he's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. But all in all, he's actually doing really well. So, it's good, you know. It is what it is, but, you know. So, thanks for asking. And, you know, to all of you, I know you all ask.
Well, I'm glad to hear. I saw your Facebook post about how excited he was to see you and Justin, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Getting to see him for this time.
Well, you know, my family is crazy, so there's been some other drama this week, of course, but
it wouldn't be family if it wasn't drama.
Well, yeah, you know. But yeah, I've actually, because we've actually been sleeping in the hospice room with him, because really there needs to be somebody in there all the time, and I'm actually getting to spend a lot of time with him, which I hadn't gotten to do for a while. So it's really cool. He's in really good spirits, so it's good. Yeah.
Maybe that'll give you a good excuse to work on an abstract during the week. You can avoid the rest of the family then.
Well, you know, there's still a lot that I have to write for Monday, and that's the thing. Actually, I think the funniest thing he said was that my mom never lets him control the remote when he's at home. So he said something about he's enjoying being able to have full control of the remote. But yes, I can help somewhat with the abstract as soon as I get done writing my syllabi, which you're not ready for Monday. So.
Yeah. Good luck with that, too.
So is our plan for this semester then just to, I'm just making sure, because I know we had some talk about it, to basically just do an opinion survey interview to get more data?
I did not hear anything you said, Jackie.
Is our main goal just to actually do opinion surveys and interviews this semester only?
I think so. I think Carla had talked about maybe, you know, one of the things we might kind of do is step back a little bit and kind of take a look at this holistically. And
yeah. I definitely think we should, I don't know if doing another, like, full-scale data collection, like asking those same problems or kind of similar problems on an exam is really going to serve us. Again, simply because we ran into so many problems where we're like, well, we just really don't know what they're saying there. Kind of what the reason is for, you know, why they said what they said. So I feel like, I know it was a lot of effort to code everything, and while coding would probably go faster now that we know our scheme better, I'm not sure that's actually worth our time at the moment.
Do we want to use all six interview questions, or do we just want to use the three that we used last semester, or we want to use the questions we used on exams for interview questions? What do you guys think?
I'm sorry, say that again.
For interview questions, do we want to use all six of the questions we developed for the interviews this semester, or do we want to use the three?
The three. the three that we had...
That we did last semester? Or do we want to try to collect data on the problems that we used on the exam, but doing interviews this time?
Oh.
If we do try and go back, one of the things we had talked about at towards the end of last semester was trying to get the students who were enrolled in our class back in for an interview, like picking some of them intentionally. Those students, then, we would have to use the interview questions, the ones that were designated as interview questions. For new students this year, it probably wouldn't matter. We can just pick the ones that we like.
Well, I think the thing was we were seeing more confirmation bias with the texting question. And with the, Jackie, you did some interviews with the Mac PC, right?
I had one. I accidentally did.
And you saw more confirmation bias with that one, right?
Yes.
So I'm wondering if we shouldn't, if we just use those, are we kind of skewing our results towards what we want?
Well, we could each do, there are a couple of us, so we could each do different ones.
Or we could just each randomly select from the six.
Well, I would do a stratified selection so that we know we're getting different, like, strong, neutral split.
Yeah.
Do we want to choose questions based on their opinion survey results? We had talked about doing that originally, and then it was just got to be too much because there were so many students. So we want to do opinion surveys and then divide them up into groups and then assign questions based on that. The other question is, do the IRBs from last year still apply? How does that work at your school?
It probably depends how the IRBs were written. If you put a time limit on it, then they no longer apply. If you just said, I'm going to do this in my class, they may still apply.
Yeah,
I just looked mine up. Mine expired in April, late April.
You might be able to just file an extension since you're not really doing anything new. It might not be that cumbersome.
Yeah, I would agree. I actually realized when I did mine... I'll have to get new for the course I'm in anyway, but I had to do something like that with another one where I just had to go back in and kind of broaden the scope a little bit on one, and it was no big deal at all. I sent an email and said, this is what I want to do, and the lady emailed me back, and she's like, this is what you need to put in the paperwork, and then it was done.
Yeah, mine was just for spring 2011, so I'd have to...
So I guess then the question becomes, do we really just want to focus on writing this semester and then do interviews in the spring, and that will give you guys a chance to get your IRB paperwork updated and approved and everything?
But then we would not have more results for the paper that would be due in December.
Yeah, I really think we need for the paper, we really need more interview results than we have.
Do you think that you guys will get permission soon enough? I mean, I can do interviews this semester, because remember, I just have the guy I need to get permission from.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how much fun I'll have.
Well, again, it should just be an extension, so I think it'll be fine. I don't think it'll take that long. I think I'll be okay anyway.
I have no clue for mine.
Yeah.
I can try to draw from more classes. I'm only teaching two sections, but I can ask the other faculty if they would give their students extra credit on their final if they participated. Since we're not doing the exam questions, I should be able to draw from all the students for interviews, so that will give a bigger pool for me, too.
When you start thinking about extra credit, though, that's when IRB does get tricky. And I don't know how strict your guy would be, but I know that, my IRB has special guidelines that apply to extra credit, because that can be viewed as coercion if the credit is tied specifically to participating, because then the students feel like, well, I have no choice. I have to participate. I need extra credit.
I put extra credit questions on the final for those students who didn't do interviews. Tell me your opinion about this or something. And he was fine with it.
Okay.
For the students who came for interviews, they automatically got the extra credit on their final. And for the ones who didn't, I had something, where they just had to write a single word answer or something that was really easy that everybody would get credit for. And he didn't have any problems. Honestly, I don't even think he read the paperwork I submitted. I really don't.
That's funny. Well, if you know you'll be okay then, yeah, I mean, if you want to expand the pool of interview people.
Yeah, I'll talk to the other faculty and see if they'd be willing to.
Yeah, the one thing you have to be careful then about is when you get their opinion data.
Oh, right. Well, I can just give everybody the survey and ask them to distribute it to their classes and throw them in my mailbox. I mean, it's not it was just whether we have 12 questions on it, they could do it the first day of class. And then any students who want to do interviews, all of their opinion data. Do you want to try to get, when you guys did the conference call, the one I missed, Rola had summarized a bunch of additional analyses. Do you want to try to get those done before next week, too? I don't think it's much programming. A lot of it I had already done.
Well, the ones, I was actually wondering about that. A lot of the analyses I want to look at by student, so it wouldn't be aggregated across, it would be aggregated too, but I thought that the analyses we did didn't take the individual student into account. So I want to know for a particular student, how did they answer on the series of the three? How did they answer on the series of the three? And then there was thinking about, ways you could kind of group students based on their pattern of answers.
So,
let me see if I can pull
I'm
up.
Having a hard time hearing. There's a lot of tractor trailers right now. So, you want, given a student's opinion, how did they answer on each of the three questions? Or you want, given that they answered this way on question one, how did they answer on the others? I'm just trying to think of what type of table.
I'm thinking, well, that's actually a good question. So, I guess the way I was thinking it was just looking at what their ratings were, and I had grouped them really without paying attention to the particular question, so not like question one versus anything else. I think I put that as something we might be able to do later, like see if there's actually a time effect or a question effect or something. But I wanted to look at each student's opinion on the three and find out for a particular student, John Doe, what were his opinion ratings? Did he give all strong ratings? for the opinion questions, like strongly agree or strongly disagree? Did he give all neutral ratings? Did he give some of each? That's what I wanted to know.
So basically, you just want the spreadsheet cleaned up.
Well, I need to know for I think it's still, like, the opinions we have, we know what people's opinions were on question one, but then we don't know how those relate to the opinions on question two, because I think the tables we currently have lose track of the individual. The tables aren't paired. They're, like, we don't know this, you know, one person who gave a strong result here, we don't know what their opinion was for the other two.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You essentially want the spreadsheet, but you just want the columns that have opinion and then what their ranking was or what their coding was?
Yeah, like basically I think we need to create kind of a new categorical variable where we define it and we say, so I give, going back, do you guys still have my analysis plan from August, September 2011? I think I emailed that a little.
I have it on my email, but I'm in the car.
Oh, okay. So when you look at that, there are, I suppose we would need 10 new groups. And what we would need to know, so you'd need to go through and program it using probably a series of, like, if statements. So if the student had a strong opinion on the luggage problem and a strong opinion on the tuition problem and a strong opinion on the Mac PC problem. And then you'd have to look and see did the conclusion agree with their opinion. So I think we might have to stratify based on like version of the problem here. I want to know how many students there were like that. They had all strong opinions and all of the conclusions agreed with their opinions.
Okay. I already have a lot of those if then statements done. I just need to combine them then into a new.
Yeah, so if you look at that document, if you could basically code up in part B of what I say, there's 10 categories. I think we need to code those. And then what I think we need to do is recreate the tables kind of within each category. If the categories are big enough, if they're not big enough, then we'll have to think about collapsing, like which dimensions we want to collapse across, that sort of thing.
I have, I sent you guys the code, like, a long time ago before you went to that conference. I sent the code.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a chance, if you want to look at it and see if you agree with the way that I already set categories. You guys, I'm pretty sure I did based on, like, 0 or 4. Then I said they were neutral. If they were this, then there are, like, 2 that didn't go into any category. Was it 3 and 5?
Yeah. Well, now now you'll need to combine the categories across the people. So we'll need to say, you know, which were they in for the – were they in the same category for the first – for all 3 problems, or were they in
right. –
like, want to define the categories by how they answered all 3 of them.
I think I just called 3 and 5 other. Do you guys want to group them in with anything else, or do you want to give them a name? People who know 3 or 5.
No, part of me, well, I don't, my opinion is that the 3 and 5 are kind of just noise. We don't really know where they should be. Should they really be a neutral? Should they really be a strong or a dis, like a, or a, not a strong, but an agree or a disagree. You know, so I think they're kind of just noise.
So do you want to throw them out for these tables that you're talking about now?
Yeah, I would still just ignore them and focus on the kind of strong agree, strong disagree, neutral rating.
Okay, well, that literally will probably take me about 5 minutes to do. So I'll if you guys count for those, then we can decide what we want to do from there.
sounds good.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Still here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that sounds good. So then that may give us some ideas about what our conclusion could be. If we see something interesting there, that may give us some ideas about what our conclusion could be for the EMS paper. We can also go back, those of you who have good interview data, if you can maybe take a look at those in the next week and it seems like informally there's a sense that the confirmation bias is stronger. If you might be able to, like, formalize that or articulate that a little bit better, that may help us, too, in terms of our conclusion, where we can say we didn't see example of confirmation bias on the exams, but we did see it in the interviews. And then in terms of actually conducting new interviews, I don't imagine that's going to happen in the next week, so we'll have to just do that later in the term, do the update informed consent if necessary, administer the opinion survey, and then do the interviews.
Yeah. And I did send an email to my IRB person, too, and hopefully I'll get an email back from her soon about if I can just continue or what I need to do for that.
For the interview data, I've not done interviews before. Do we need to transcribe the interview itself? Or just listen to it and then code it? I've not done interviews before.
Generally, it's easier to transcribe in case you have to go back and look at it again.
And we have to keep names off of those for confidentiality purposes? Or is it okay to have student names?
I would just give them a pseudonym.
Okay.
Give them the I'd probably just give them a pseudonym for simplicity. You could just call them student, even, you know, like student interviewer. Student 1, student 2, student 3.
Okay.
Thing.
Yeah.
And then you should keep a record for yourself of kind of who those students are so that you could track them. Because that's one thing we could do with last semester's data is we can connect the interview data to that particular student's exam responses.
Right.
So I would make sure you remember who those students are, but I would use pseudonyms in the transcript.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I know some of my strongest students who did really well on the exam questions when they were with me in the interview, they were completely using their own opinions.
Okay.
And when's our next call? Did I lose you guys?
Our next call? I still have us on for September 1st.
Yeah, we had seemed like that had worked for everybody.
And that makes me the organizer, right? Because Jackie organized this one?
Sure.
Okay. So September 1st at 2 or 3?
It seemed like 3 had worked for everybody.
Great. All right. I'll email Jean when we should be home tonight, so I'll email her when I get home.
Okay.
What's our purpose of the next call?
Well, we'll have to make sure that the abstract is finalized.
Right.
I can take the lead on submitting that. But we'll definitely have to be in email contact in the meantime to see what we have and send around drafts and then make sure it's finalized so we can send it off. that might be a good time to, if we have kind of new results, to kind of discuss how that affects things and kind of where to go from here for the semester. We all have the case of the Friday afternoons. I think everyone's ready to be done. Maybe that's just me.
I know, I survived the first week, so I'm happy. So.
Yeah, this week has been crazy for me. This is the most I've ever taught. I feel bad complaining with Tara on the line, because I know Tara's schedule is amazingly insane. I don't know how you do it. I have the utmost respect for you. But for me, having three courses just felt... And I've never taught these courses before, and one of them is probability and distribution theory, which I've never had to formally teach, and it's been so long since I really studied it that I'm a little freaked out about it. So I am basically planning everything just in time. Like, I spent all weekend last weekend planning for this week. This week I'm trying to get ahead, but then I actually ran out of material in one class, so I had to plan stuff to teach today, and I feel like I'm just basically going straight from, like, one thing to the next. Like, I get the thing with the next deadline done, and then I have to move right on to what else is coming due. So this week has been hectic. I'm hoping that I can catch up and we'll actually get ahead soon, and then that will mean I'll have more time for reading and research.
But you don't have to do research now, right? I mean, it's not like... It's not dependent. Your job's not dependent on it now.
Right. I don't have to do research right now, so I'm not taking on any new research projects. I definitely want to see this through, and this is what I'll be working on, but I'm not taking on any new research projects this term. It's just, you know, I'm sure you guys all are similar in that planning takes a long time because you want to do a good job, and you think about good examples, and you nuance things, and... So, you know, planning will essentially take up all the time I give it. So it is taking a long time now.
Well, and I'll be honest with you all, for me, I am at the point right now that I'm freaked out about my research because I've got to get some things published in the next 2 years. Or I won't get tenure.
I really hope we can get this published before then. So, yeah, I want to see this through, and I want to make sure something comes of this, because research is still very good for me, and it certainly increases the probability that they will renew my contract when that is up. So that's why I definitely still plan on working on this semester, and then next semester what I'll be doing will be repeat prep, so it'll be much better. So, yeah, so then I think the plan... For this week, Tara's going to try and work on those analyses when she gets back. We all need to check with our IRB and see about updating the IRB, and then and those who have interviews. I have some interviews, so I'll go back, although I don't have anything word for word. I can't transcribe anything, but I'll still go back and look at my notes. So we can look at our interviews, check out our IRB, make sure that's up to date. Be an email contact about the abstract based on both interview results and the new codes that Tara produces, the new tables that Tara produces.
When you guys get your interview data coded, can you send it to me? And I'll run a quick analysis on the interview data too.
Mm-hmm.
And if it links in to, just let me know who the student is so that I can link it in with their other data in our spreadsheet. And I'll add my data in as I finish it. I mean, we're not talking. I think I have 13. How many do you have, Jackie?
I think 4.
So we have about 20 students? About?
I only have 1.
Okay, so less than 20 students, 18, so I don't know how much analysis we'll be able to do at 18, so. But you can at least do tables and look at how the codes compare to what we have with the other data. Like I said, I have time the next week or, you know, in the next couple weeks, so I'll get as much done as I can. I have 6 classes after that, so like you guys, I'll be tight.
I love how you say tight. Your threshold for busy is, I think, higher than mine. All right. I think that all sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, good luck to those of you who are also still planning or trying to get ready for the semester during this time. And Jackie,
you guys,
you're going already, right?
Yep.
Mm.
Hey.
Good luck to us then, too.
And Carla, stay safe with the hurricane.
I will. I think we're just supposed to get a lot of rain and maybe some wind here. So my biggest concern is if the power goes out, how long it'll be out for. So
that's exactly what we're on the border between extreme and high. Like when they do the weather map, they say what the danger is. We're right on the border between extreme and high. So I'm hoping it goes out so we don't lose power. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, good luck to you guys, too. Hopefully it will... Hopefully it'll continue just shifting out to sea, because I think it shifted a little from what they were predicting for us last week, so that made it better for us here.
That's good.
But we'll see. I sent my husband in the store today for Chef Boyardee. He's like, why would I want to buy that? I'm like, because we're going to need food, and if we lose power, we'll need food. And he's like, well, don't you have to cook it? I'm like, no, it's Chef Boyardee. It's borderline food. Using the term loosely, you can call it food, and it's all pre-cooked. And it's something I think the kids will eat, because they don't normally get to eat that. So, oh my goodness. We'll have the ravioli in the house, and I'll feel better.
That's what we're going to do. Actually, we're going to stop on our way, because we figure by the time we get home tonight, there probably will be nothing left in the store.
Yeah, good luck with that. Hopefully there'll be some when you stop.
So. We're going home through central Pennsylvania, so we figure we'll stop in there.
Sounds good.
Alright, so I will email Jean and I'll let you guys know when I get confirmation from her about the conference call. And then I'll email you guys the other stuff once I get done.
That sounds great.
Alright.
Alright, talk to you all later.
Yeah.
Bye. Have a good weekend.
Alright. Bye.
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 Thank you. Please stand by.